views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Oh, welcome to Voices of Women. I'm so glad to be here today, Friday, the last week of April. And I hope you all are having a great spring. We are here in Seattle, going back and forth between sun and rain and clouds, as we usually do. I'm excited today because we're going to be talking about stories with my special guest, Lonnie Hall Alpert, a well-loved singer from Brazil 66. You'll recognize her songs such as The Fool on the Hill. She's recorded 22 albums and 4 with her husband, Herb Albert, and her most recent being I Feel You and Stepping Out. So Lonnie won a Grammy in 1986 for the Best Latin Pop Performance and sang the title song for the James Bond film Never Say Never Again. And now she's an accomplished author, having always been a superb lyricist. Her first book is out now. It's on short stories and a personal narrative. It's called Emotional Memoirs and Short Stories. So welcome, Lonnie.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, well, I was just telling you before we started that I read your book this week, and I love stories. And one thing about I founded a conference called Women of Wisdom, and one of the important things I think for women is to share their stories. And anyway, mm-hmm. I just love your stories, and they're very diverse. There's a commonality of style. You're a lyricist, but then these stories, there's an intrigue and an intimacy and even a mystery about them with very interesting characters. So it's great stories. And the reason I say mystery, because the title says it's memoir. So first I'm thinking, well, these are your stories of your life. And obviously a couple are. The first one is and the last one. But then you kind of realize, well, wait, this is not one person. This cannot be.
I never murdered anybody.
Yes, exactly. But there's a common theme for women, which we'll talk about later. And mm-hmm. you've been writing these over a period of 30 years. So I would love for you to share your inspiration to write, when you began writing stories, and what inspired you in this soulful style of writing that you have developed.
Oh, thank you. Well, I've always written. I started writing when I was probably 12, but I was writing my impressions of things, my feelings about things, and poetry. That's what I wrote until 1982. I was on the road performing in Mexico, and I was talking to my manager in a coffee house just to kill some time, and I told him about this story that happened to me when I was a young girl growing up in Chicago, my witnessing this love affair of my neighbor. And when I got to the end of it, he looked at me and said, you know, I think you should write this down. This is a good story. And so that was my first try at writing in short story form. And I really enjoyed it because I let my imagination fly and I just trusted where I would go, wherever the story was winding. And I felt it was very musical. The whole process of writing short stories was very similar to the way I sing. And there's an improvisational aspect to it, and there certainly is a rhythm to it. And so I felt very comfortable in that form, and so that's when I started writing short stories.
And you didn't write them to necessarily share them. So what inspired you now to put together this book of stories?
Well, actually, a friend of mine was a woman friend of mine was recovering from surgery, and she was starting to just get cabin fever in her apartment. She just didn't know what to do with herself anymore. And so it made me think of my story Inland, which is about my being sick. And so I thought, well, maybe she'd like to read this. Maybe it'll get her mind off of things. And so I hunted in my drawers, and I found the story, and I sent it over to her. And she was so impressed, you know, and so enthusiastic about it that she asked me if I had any other stories that she could read. And so I started just giving her a bunch of stories that I had written and just put in my drawer. And she was so supportive, and she just said, you know, Lonnie, I think you have a book here, and I think you should look at that aspect. And that's when it kind of hit me. I said, well, maybe I'll reread everything and start editing and see what I have here. And that's what I did.
Oh, that's great. Because it is, like I said, you know, stories are important. And whether they're true stories or fiction, there's always, you know, a purpose behind them. And I'm going to go to, because you did mention that, you know, growing up in Chicago, how that influenced your storytelling and writing songs, obviously.
Yeah, I really didn't realize how much Chicago was still inside of my body until I started writing about it. And I found myself writing about things that I just hadn't thought about in so many decades. And it surprised me. And I realized that Chicago is a main character in my life. And so it is in my book. It's like a main character in my book. It's you could follow the shadows of and the light and the weather and the architecture and the romance of the city, and it had a very, very powerful effect on my life. I grew up in a very kind of unstable household, so Chicago became a very dependable strength that I looked to in times of, you know, feeling angst, and so Chicago was kind of like I kind of adopted it as a family, as a family member, and I depended on those strong buildings and it was inspiring to me to see these buildings stand with the abuse that they received from the weather. You know, they were just being whipped by the wind and soaked in snow and ice, and yet they still stood strong. And that was an inspiration to me.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, you left when you were 19, and you know, you look at that as like our roots are, you know, who we are so much in the roots of where we come from.
Yeah.
The ambience of the city, you're talking about Chicago being that strength for you. And, you know, for me, I lived all my life in Seattle, except when I traveled around the world for 3 years, but I always knew I'd come back here. I want to live here. I could live some other places too, but this is my core too. And you mentioned in the book too, like going back and visiting how you walk through your old neighborhoods and seeing where there's a theater you used to go to all the time and it's gone now. And how does that make you, you know, when something's, you know, and so many buildings and old things here torn down in Seattle for the new, you know, the new skyscrapers or whatever, how that impacts us, that part of us is gone.
Yes, but you know, since I left Chicago when I was 19, I carried my memories of it with me. And each time I would go back on breaks that I would get when I was singing with Brazil 66, we were on the road for 11 months out of the year. So we had 1 month that we had free. And I would go home. I would go to Chicago. And I would notice every time I would go that things were not there anymore. But they were alive in me. I mean, when I think of that theater that you mentioned, you know, I mean, I could see it as clear as day right now, and just, it lives within me. And, I don't live in Chicago, so I don't get to miss it in a visual way anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm curious if, you know, because you share your story about how you would sing to yourself and your neighbor, Jackie. No one really knew you sang. But I just wonder if there was any aha moment where, you know, something in the back of your head where you knew singing would be your path or you would be moving into something greater than you were as a teenager.
Yeah, that's a good question. I never thought I would be a singer. I always sang in my room. I think my life would have been far different had I not had the vehicle to sing. It just alone in my room. It was such a release for me and such a way to express myself that was so important to me. But I never thought that I could actually do that in my lifetime, be a professional singer. And so no one knew I sang. I did not sing for people. The only people that knew I sang were my parents because they heard me singing in my room. But that was it, and my neighbor, Jackie. So I was like a closet singer as well as a closet writer. No one really knew I wrote. And in fact, when I put out this book, people, were calling me saying, "When did you start writing?" they had no idea that I was a writer. So I didn't have the confidence that it takes to knock on somebody's door and say, "Here's what I can do. I think I'm gifted in something, and would you listen to it and see what you think?" I did not have that. And so the way it happened for me, to me, it was like it was divine intervention.
Yeah, you tell that. Yeah, you have that in the book where Jackie kind of tricked you on the stage and then you were discovered. I mean, that was, it was meant to be. Not everybody gets discovered that way in one little incident of being on the stage. Well,
exactly.
This is Chris Stainless. You're listening to Voices of Woman. We'll come back shortly and talk more with Lonnie Hall Albert.
You see, this guy's in love with you. Yes, I'm in love.
Chris Stainless is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Yeah.
get insider knowledge about everything that is going on at Transformation Talk Radio. Go to transformationtalkradio.com and enter your email to receive our newsletter. Stay updated on new hosts, inspiring guests, and good news articles from around the world. We look forward to having you join our community.
A retreat to open your senses and heal your energy. Join Lynn Brown and Wendy Wolf for Amazing Astra Allies, April 30th through May 2nd in the beautiful Methow Valley. Open to more of your astral experiences. Learn intentional dreaming and receive astral body healings in this serene setting. This retreat is almost full. To register now or learn more, call 206-931-7356 today.
I'm back on Voices of Women with Lonnie Hall. Albert, you're hearing her laugh because our tech show person, Brian, has got all Lonnie's music out lined up for the show today.
That's my husband's music.
Exactly. I know. He told me he was bringing his CDs to play.
That's great.
Hey, I know. We should be having your music. What is this?
No. I love hearing this.
Yeah, of course you do. Well, you were talking before about, you know, growing up in a volatile household and escaping, you know, Chicago being a city, you could escape from that. But also, one of your stories in the book, Come Rain or Come Shine, was your relationship with Jackie. And she really introduced you to an adult world at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
And you were very innocent. And so what, now looking back on it, what was that relationship for the two of you? What did that mean to each of you?
Well, she was very important in my life because she lived right next door, and she was a safe haven for me to escape to when things were bad at home. So I had a place to go. I had like a demilitarized zone to go to. And that was very important to me, to have that. So she kind of adopted me in a way, because I would babysit for her son. But yet when her son went back to New York to live with his father, I would still be around. I would keep her company, and we would go to movies, and we would order pizza, and we would, you know, I would watch this young woman, through my eyes, I would see her, through my eyes, which were 12 and 13 years old, I would see this young woman, and she was just, you know, a great role model, I felt, for me. She had a fantastic jazz collection, and I learned so many songs from listening to her albums. And so, in that respect, it was that story actually is the backdrop of that story is jazz. And then she fell in love with this man, and I was witness to that, you know, and, unfortunately, he was a heroin addict, and he passed away. That incident struck me, you know, in a very profound way, because this was my first exposure to what I felt was true love, and that he was taken away at 22 years old was just such a tragedy. And so this was a powerful story in my life, and it's a powerful story on the page, I think, too.
Yeah, so then you talk later about how you visited her in New York, and
yeah.
And well, first you had to kind of make amends and get back, you know, to her graces of being a friend, but you visited
right.
her, and you confronted her about what really happened in Chicago, because I think something's confused you, and she denied it, and I had the sense of that you felt betrayed by that it was, and I like even questioning, well, what was real then back in Chicago if she's saying
well,
this.
Well, no, I didn't feel that way. I felt shocked that when I asked her if she ever thought about this man, and she looked at me and said, "Who?" You know, and I was like, "Oh boy, that really shook me to my core." And I mean, I don't think I could actually believe her that she didn't love him. And then, you know, at the end of the story in the epilogue, she tells me that he's the only man she ever loved. So, you know, it was a bittersweet story that had a profound effect on my life. I mean, for one thing, I have no idea if I would have fooled around with hard drugs but in my neighborhood there were a lot of drug addicts, but this experience absolutely backed me off of even thinking about trying to, you know, use hard drugs. So, cause it was such a tragedy, and it was something I'd never seen a dead body before. And I saw him lying there, and it really shook me up. And it was a tragedy.
Yeah, and that's and that's a great lesson to learn at at that young age. The path that, you know, he took of drugs isn't one to take, and that you had that strength to not do that because you were so close to her. You could easily have gone that path too. I'm sure you realize that.
Yes, and she didn't know that he was a heroin addict when she started falling in love with him. She didn't know it. And then when she found out, you know, she was already in love with this man, and so she never tried anything, and she looked at me and said, "If you ever try anything, I'll skin you alive." You know, she was very protective of me, but unfortunately, his habit took over.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, in these stories, you know, there's a lot of topics in the book, kind of the darker side of adulthood and artistry, and so there's sort of an overarching narrative that ties them together. And I'd love for you to talk about that. And if you realize in writing these stories that there would be this, that you were consciously writing, and what I'm referring to is for me, the underlying story is that women taking back their power.
Yeah, well, so many of the stories are about women that just can't keep doing what they've always been doing. It's just not working anymore. And they don't really understand why. It's either within their relationship, whatever their relationship is, you know, whether it's a husband or a lover or a friend. They don't feel comfortable in their own skin anymore, and they don't know why. And, they have to find who they are. They have to redefine who they are to themselves. I found that it was a very psychological, road that I was taking with all of these characters, you know, that what is behind their action? That why are they doing this when it clearly isn't that good for them? What happened? In fact, I mean, one of the stories called The Ringing Bells, I actually saw an interview on television with this woman that was talking about postpartum depression. And she said when she had her baby, at one point she looked at her housekeeper and she said, "Could you please watch the baby until my husband gets home?" And the housekeeper said yes. And this woman left the house, got in her car, and drove down the coast and didn't tell anybody where she was and didn't go back. And I was sitting there watching this interview and I was thinking, wow, you know, what happened? What happened to this woman? And so in order for me to answer those questions for myself, I have to write about it. And so I wrote a story about a woman that was having a fight with her husband. And she said, "I'll be back in a minute." And she walked out and she got in her car and she drove down the coast and she didn't tell him where she was going. But it turns out that throughout this story, and the story is goes into many, many different areas. There's a bear attack. It's a very intense story, but it turns out that this woman had delivered a baby who was dead, and no one wanted to talk to her about this. They all wanted to, you know, they didn't want to stir up make any waves or any, so they just didn't talk about it. And this woman really, she even blocked it from herself. And until she was ready and willing to look at it, her life wasn't working for her anymore.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of things that makes me think of, it's kind of like when we're hiding, you know, from the truths in our lives, and we have to, life comes in full force in our face, because we have to deal with it at some point or another. And mm-hmm. and so that's, you know, through your stories, you come out the other end, or some resolution, whether it's negative or positive. Like the one with standing appointment, and that's a fascinating one. I know there's some fascinating stories here, but you know, and I want to, when we come back, when we have a minute here now, but that was about dreams and going to a person who was having a lot of difficulty in her life, going to a therapist. And so, you know, and there's some inspiration on your own struggle of seeing therapist or.
Well, I wanted to write a story about bad therapy, you know, and what it, you know, when you go into therapy, you're giving your trust and, you know, basically your life to somebody to guide you, hopefully, into the healthier way to look at things, a different perspective. But sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes you're dealing with somebody who is far sicker than you are. And this is what this story is about.
Yeah. And reading it, you get hints, you kind of go, wow, why is she listening to this guy, you know, and yet he's sounding plausible, but, and then in the, you know, and it's not a good therapist. And that's that thing of learning, you know, discerning, and what your whole book about is listening to yourself inside of you, you know, what is correct for you to do. And she wasn't doing that. She was getting the glimmers, but she wasn't doing it totally. So anyway, but it's break time. We're going to take another break and we'll come back and talk more with Lonnie Hall Albert.
Disease, one of the most dreaded words in our vocabulary. Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know traditionally we have viewed disease as a degenerative process? Disease is better understood when we view it as dis-ease in the human body. Dis-ease means without ease. Health is not merely the absence of disease. It's when every part of the body works together effortlessly, relaxed and at ease. It's that relaxed state that lets energy flow in waves through and around the entire body. Every organ has an electrical charge, and when overcharged or undercharged, dis-ease occurs. And it is an effort to go through our day. We are able to determine the exact dis-ease of the body and design a specific solution to correct the nutritional imbalance. Contact us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
In retirement, will you outlive your money? It's a common question for people approaching retirement, but it doesn't need to weigh on you. Ask Ameriprise financial advisor Jeff Packman about the new Confident Retirement Approach. You and Jeff can break down retirement planning step by step to get the real answers you need. In fact, 93% of clients who have had the Confident Retirement Approach conversation feel more confident about their retirement. Call Jeff Packman, financial advisor, at 425-453-0272 for your Confident Retirement conversation today. Office is located at 601 108th Avenue Northeast, Suite 1800, Bellevue, Washington, 98004. Percentage based on Ameriprise Financial Confident Retirement Client Survey as of December 2013. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Called the Oprah of Radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Okay, welcome back to Voices of Women with myself, Christinus, and Lonnie Hall Albert. We're talking about her book, Emotional Memoirs and Short Stories, which I really recommend people to get. Hey, Lonnie, can you give your website where people can find out about you, your music, your book?
LonnieHallAlpert.com.
Okay, very easy. And I understand, too, with the book, you have a CD with music, a music score from movies that goes along with the book, so in the background, like you're telling someone's reading.
It's in the background of certain scenes, and when I was writing the stories, I would hear music for these certain scenes in the book, you know, just like movies, just like a movie. When you're watching a movie, you don't really even notice the music sometimes, but it's just this kind of an emotional landscape for the visual. And I just heard that when I was writing, and then I decided to try to find movie music that would match these scenes. And I was really fortunate to find this leasing library online that had all these choices for me to pick, and I did.
Great. Yeah, well, and I know it would add. It's just like when you're watching TV shows or movies, you don't even realize, but that the it impacts you a lot. They really build
it
up
really
scenes.
Does. Yes. Yes.
We were just talking about that story, standing appointment about with a therapist. And with that, there was a person who went, she had a lot of dreams that were disturbing her. And and so let's talk about dreams, because I have a sense that you get a lot of dreams too.
Well, all the dreams in standing appointment are my dreams. I actually started writing standing appointment because I had the opening dream of the girls in the where she kind of gets pulled under the sand and she dies in that dream, and then she starts talking to her psychologist about that dream. I had that dream, and that's when I started writing that story, and I just decided, well, I'd like to keep going with this, and let's see where this goes. And it turned out to be a story about bad therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the dreams, the dreams are sort of a way to process things. Were you in therapy? Did you have to go to therapy to figure out these dreams, or were you able to kind of figure them out yourself?
I've been in and out of therapy a lot. So I really enjoy the therapeutic process. I like having insights. I like changing my perspective on things. So I enjoy that. But I have had some bad experiences with therapy as well. And so that's why I wanted to write this story. But as far as the dreams go, since I was a baby, I've had nightmares. So I've had nightmares and night terrors. So my dream world is very, very intense and very sometimes very frightening. And sometimes when I meditate, it's a little lighter. But I mean, every week there's something going on in my dreams that, I wish would change, but I don't know. I don't think it will. I just don't think it will at this point in my life. I think that this is just something I have to cope with.
Yeah. Well, we do have to. They're part of us. Sometimes we don't remember them. I just had one this morning. It was that typical travel one where the flight is leaving in an hour, and then it's a half hour, and you're not even packed yet, and you can't get to the airport, and and I had to.
Yeah, those are anxiety dreams, though.
I know,
yeah.
Yeah, and I know what it's all about, and I woke up. I remember because I was stirred when my husband got up, and I mentioned it. I told him it, so that's why I remember it. And I'm going, oh yeah, I know what this is about. But
yeah.
Let's get on to your story about Inla. Now that's your health situation. You had Epstein-Barr, and let's talk about how that impacted your life, impacted mm-hmm. these stories, and a lot of people deal with these.
Chronic fatigue syndrome.
Chronic fatigue syndromes and things that impact people's lives so much.
Mm-hmm. Well, I put Inland as the last story because so many of these stories are about women who are trying to find their voice. And in Inland, the last story, here is this character, me, who finds her voice. And that's why I put it at the end. What I learned for myself from that experience was that when I had Epstein-Barr virus, there was really nothing the medical profession had for patients with Epstein-Barr virus. They didn't really know how to treat it. I believe they have some medications now that you can take, but it is a virus, and they said, you know, I could take B12 shots and IVs of vitamin C, but there was nothing really that they could do to cure this. So I would go from doctor to doctor, and that's what they would tell me. And finally, I just said, I'm going to ask myself what I should do because nobody's answering my questions. And I started asking myself. I started asking myself, what should I eat this for dinner, or should I eat something else? And I would get answers from myself. No, don't eat this. Have a little bit of that. Or should I go out tonight? No. I mean, it was very clear, very clearly said what I should do and what I shouldn't do. At the same time I had Epstein-Barr virus, I had breast implants. And I started hearing that women with breast implants were starting to have autoimmune disabilities. Their immune system was failing them, and they were starting to become allergic to everything, including themselves. So I started hearing that, and I went to my doctor that put these implants in, and I said, what's going on? And he said, no, don't worry about this. It's okay. These are just hysterical women. You know, I mean, this is just, don't worry about it. There's a moratorium. After the moratorium, we'll relook at this whole issue, but don't worry about it now. And I went home, and I asked myself, should I get these implants out? And I got a resounding absolutely. So I called my doctor the next day and I said, I want these implants out. And so I don't care what the moratorium says. I want them out, and I want them out now. And I want them out without anesthesia because I was so sick. I just didn't want to go through the side effects of anesthesia. So he numbed me and he took them out. And I started feeling better about, I would say, 6 to 8 weeks later. And so it was a real lesson in intuition and just including yourself in the mix of finding answers and tapping into your own wisdom and experience and strength.
Yeah, so true. And I've heard other people talk about stories like that, not about Epstein-Barr, but, you know, just the sense of having a dream that there's, you know, they have a lump in their breast, and even though doctors can't find anything or they say nothing's wrong with you, this intuition, this voice is saying, dig deeper, you know, keep going to doctors, find out, and to listen to that voice. And that's the thing we need to learn for ourselves is, how do we listen to ourselves? How do we know it's our voice, our true voice speaking versus just some voice in our head? Which, you know, talking to, I think it was my guest earlier this week, I was on the Dr. Pat show, of knowing the difference of when it's your voice speaking and that it comes from the heart instead of just the mind, that there's a, you know.
I find that when I ask myself a question, I kind of clear my mind, and then I ask myself the question, and the first answer is usually the one that is is the true one. Because if you wait, if I wait too long, my fear voice will start to come up and start telling me what to do. And you know, I don't want to listen to my fear. I don't want my fear to be running my life. I want the truth to be running my life. And so I find that it's the first answer to me that will usually be very clear, very clean, no, yes, or else nothing. And if it's nothing, then I won't ask until later again.
Mm-hmm. And it's right. And they're short answers. If you get a voice that's going on a lot of description, a lot of time, you're trying to convince yourself. It's your mind acting.
Yeah, no. I'm dealing with yes and no.
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, and it's such a good message for women that are dealing with this. And how do you deal with, does it flare up for you now? Do you have to watch yourself and manage it?
I don't watch it. I don't manage it. If I start feeling really tired, then I pay attention and, I just do what I need to do. You know, it's like, you know, I eat when I'm hungry and I sleep when I'm tired, you know, I keep it simple. And, I try not to push myself. I intend to push myself and, I try not to do that because that isn't such a good idea.
No, that's great. So that's great advice for everybody. And we're going to take another break and come back and talk more with Lonnie Hall Aubert and about her book, Emotional Memoirs.
A retreat to open your senses and heal your energy. Join Lynn Brown and Wendy Wolfe for Amazing Astra Allies, April 30th through May 2nd in the beautiful Methow Valley. Open to more of your astral experiences. Learn intentional dreaming and receive astral body healings in this serene setting. This retreat is almost full. To register now or learn more, call 206-931-7356 today.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
My dream is to end homelessness.
My passion is living a green life.
My dream is to end poverty.
My passion is volunteering.
My passion is making a difference.
My dream is to cure Lyme disease.
My passion is rebuilding communities.
My passion is helping those in need.
My passion is caring for the elderly.
My dream is to find a cure for cancer.
My dream is to leave a better world for my children.
We all have that special passion, that lifelong dream that drives us to live our lives with meaning and to create a better world. No matter what drives you, we can all make an impact. Dr. Pat Basile is helping others make their dreams come true so we can all help make our world a better world.
To learn more about how Dr. Pat is building a community of sharing hope, strength, funds, knowledge, and information, visit abetterworldcrowdfunding.com today. That's abetterworldcrowdfunding.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. Talking to Lonnie Hall Albert. We're hearing music from Herb Albert.
Yay!
Which Lonnie loves. And but we'll get a little bit into, love to get a little bit in our last segment about your partnership with him. But first, let's talk about one of your stories is Confrontation. And it's a piece about relationship with your parents. Well, I don't know if it's about your parents or just, you know, someone else's story, but it's a commonality of all of us. We all have relationships with our parents. So
no, confrontation happened. Confrontation is me with my parents. And I just changed the name to Grace because that's really what I wanted when I confronted my parents. I wanted Grace. Yeah. And so I did that. I was in the hospital with some thing happening in my spinal canal, and one of the doctors said, you know, this could be from childhood pain. And I looked at him and I said, what are you talking about? You know, and he went into his whole thing, and then it turned out that it was this cyst inside of my spinal canal, so they took care of it and that was it. But the idea of something that happened to me in my childhood could be carried out in a physical manner really frightened me. And so I decided to confront my parents. I decided to put it out in the open and confront them and tell them who I am and try to have them listen to me and hear me. And so I went there. I went to my parents' apartment and I confronted them, and in a nice way. I mean, I certainly didn't, you know, rage in there, but I confronted them, and the whole story is this back and forth, mostly between my mother and myself, and parts have my father in them, and then something happened that I had no indication would happen. And at one point, I looked at my mother, who was talking about herself, and I said, you know, Mom, don't you have any feelings about what I'm saying to you? You know, I mean, I'm not talking about you and your childhood. I'm talking about me and my childhood. Don't you have any feelings about this? And she looked at me, and she said, well, yes, I do. And I said, well, what are they? And she said, well, I'm mortified. And when she said that, I don't know, it's almost as if everything melted. And I looked at this woman and I saw her and I heard her and she looked lost and she looked sorry. And I went over to her and I just held her. And to me, that moment, which I had no expectation of at all, that moment opened up the relationship that I wanted with my mother. And I felt compassion and I felt empathy toward this woman. And I hadn't felt those things for her. And it was very troubling to me that I couldn't feel compassion and empathy for my mother because I was so angry. And at that moment, I felt it. and it was very healing. And the rest of my mother's life, it just kept growing. This compassion that I was feeling for her kept growing, and I felt at peace with it.
Yeah, it's interesting because you both got what you needed. You know, you wanted to be heard by her, and she, you know, mm-hmm. was growing up, and she wasn't even in the confrontation. She kept telling her story, and you had to say stop. But she also wanted to have her story heard. That's why she kept, and you both got that. Mm-hmm. In the end, you both were heard, and that's, you know, when healing happens, of being able to speak. And so many times we hide from this and we're afraid to confront. And my experience is it's always you feel better afterwards. Otherwise, you hold on this for years. And like I say, it does impact our health. It comes out in different ways. And because our bodies respond to our emotional state. And,
mm-hmm. and the stress that we're feeling.
Yeah, the stress.
Yeah.
So that's great. And another good message for people to like do it now. Like you even said in the book, you'd be doing it at the graveside if you didn't do it now.
Well, that's what I said to them. I said, you know, I didn't want to wait until you both died so I can go to the cemetery and tell you then. You know, I mean, I said that to them. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want that. And I had no idea what would come from this confrontation. But I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful that it played out the way it did. Because it really helped, I think, all of us. It helped.
Yes.
And I wasn't mean. I wasn't, confrontive in a shaming way. I didn't want to walk in there blaming and shaming. But I wanted to tell the truth, and that's what I tried to do.
Yeah. And when we tell the truth and we speak from our heart and the truth, mm-hmm. You just have to let it go and it's going to be received or not received. And you almost have to let go of the outcome. And in your case, it came out great, you know, and you had a healing moment and that's wonderful. So thank you for that. And so many great stories in this book. But I would love to have you share a little bit. You know, you're on the road, you're working with your husband, Herb Albert, mm-hmm. famous person. And how does that inspire new stories for you? I know he's not part of AMN anymore. They sold that, but he's very creative. I saw a video of him. He's, you know, he does these amazing, huge sculptures, and he's an artist, and he's just, you know, very creative person along with you in this collab.
Very creative. He's incredibly creative.
And you must add your creativity too. So tell us about your collaboration together.
Well, we've been on the road for about 8 years now with our band, and we do concerts. We were in Seattle. We were in your neck of the woods a few months ago playing Jazz Alley. We're doing jazz, and we do a little bit of the old stuff, but it's definitely an improvisational band. And we're having the best time of our lives. I mean, we're just having a wonderful time. The audiences are so happy, and it's wonderful. I mean, talk about healing. Music is so healing, and you can just see it in the audience how everybody looks when you first walk out on stage, and then two songs later, they're just transformed. It's really a wonderful, wonderful feeling and experience to be doing this.
Yeah.
And while we're healthy and while we're still able to, we're doing it. And so my husband is recording and writing material for the album, and we've done 4 albums already in the last 8 years, and now he's doing this 5th one, and he's a sculptor and a painter as well, and he has shows all over the United States, and we've been to Europe as well, and we're going to Japan in September to perform music, and I'm in the process of writing about my parents, actually. I've got something going on. I've got about 100 pages of something, and I'm not exactly sure where it's going, but I want to write about them, and I lost my father 6 months ago. So I know that, you know, when I'm feeling deeply about something, I need to write about it, and so I'm doing that.
Yeah, well, great. And we look forward to reading that. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today.
And thank you, Chris. It's my pleasure.
Yeah. And so everybody, check out her book, Emotional Memoirs, Short Stories. And you can check out her website, LonnieHallAlbert.com. And I just want to do a quick shout out for Women of Wisdom. We have our fundraiser May 30th. If you're in the Seattle area, we're needing healers, intuitive readers, body workers to be part of our fundraiser day, May 30th. Just go to our website, womanofwisdom.org. And under program, there's a tab called program at the top. Scroll down and look for Sacred Pampering, and you'll find all the information about that. So everybody, have a great weekend. So glad you could be part of this wonderful show with Lenny Hall Albert. And we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.